The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day He has given us, the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. The service is before you. We follow that this morning. A couple of notes to highlight. Today is the day, our congregational meeting immediately after service in the social hall. Please join us for that. Giving statements and other odds and ends are in your boxes. Please check them. There for that. 27 January, in 2 weeks, we'll have a brief informational meeting about higher things down in Irvine this summer. So if you're at all interested, just want to know more, join us after Bible class in 2 weeks. Also, the homeless count is coming up for Nevada County. We have signed up to provide cookies for gift bags or supply bags that will be given out. So we need 25 dozen cookies. You can put six per sandwich bag, six per little Ziploc. Next Sunday, we need them next Sunday. So 25 dozen cookies, six per bag by next Sunday for the to help out with the homeless count. And also, yesterday morning got the call that Gary Johnson has graduated to the church triumphant. He died in the Lord at home yesterday. Services are pending, but most likely we're looking at February 9th. February 9th for that. We'll finalize some details this coming week. The service is before you. We'll follow that today. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's a lot of ritual in the history of the church. And those ritualistic things point out how the gospel works in our lives. And a few of them are directly related to today's scripture texts. One wonderful use of ritual is the funeral pall that covers the casket of a sainted brother or sister in Christ. It doesn't matter what the person looks like. It doesn't matter who he or she is. It doesn't matter what kind of casket is there. The pall covers it completely. Most importantly, it covers the sin, it covers the death, and it covers the horror that is in that box. It covers what awaits us because of sin. But the pall does not cover these things to hide them. The pall covers them to show you how your Lord and your God sees you. You are a sinner. You daily sin much, and it doesn't matter what you do to try and escape from Satan's temptations and misleading voice, you still fail. Daily. And you can't fix your problems on your own either. No matter how hard you try, you can't scrub away, you can't cover up the stain that sin leaves on you. But it doesn't end there. When you die, what will we see? Because of the pall, we will see the same thing that God sees. Spotless, white, covering of righteousness that covers everything that has gone wrong in this sinful world. These vestments that I wear preach virtually the same sermon. Pastors all, almost always white, for the same reason that the funeral pall is white. What do I normally wear underneath the alb? Black. Black shirt. Black pants, black shoes, black. Color of sin, the color of death. Because yes, even your pastor, the one given to you by God to bring you His word, to bring you His gifts, is also a poor, miserable sinner, trapped, as St. Paul would say, in this body of death. Even under this alb, though, there's still a hint of white. Right where the sound of the Word of God originates, the life-giving and the love of God affirming Word of truth. So there's white, the color of cleansed and pure words. There are more white robes in Christendom. They're just not as visible now as they were in the past. In his Revelation, St. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now that's all well and good. But that's in the future. What about now? Well, St. John builds on what his people knew. When they were baptized in his day, they came up out of the font and they put on a white robe, not unlike this alb, and it signified their new status in the church as children of God. And that's what St. Paul writes about. But we don't do it that way anymore. You don't have a white robe, do you? Or do you? St. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Now, these are words that you have heard over and over. But have you really absorbed their meaning? There's a new reality that takes shape right there in that water. It's a monumental change, too, not only in the action, but in the result of that action, too. All who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. The simple act of pouring that water on your forehead when that water is tied to the Word of God performs a miracle. You time travel back to the time of Jesus. You are pulled into place with Him on His cross. Your hands, your feet are nailed with His to that old rugged cross. And you hang there with Him until He cries out, "It is finished." And He dies. and then you lie with him in his tomb until Easter morning. When he rose from the dead and the stone is rolled away to show any comers that not even death can hold the God-man, Jesus. So what seems like just a little splash of water is actually so much more. And it all starts with Jesus' own baptism, his own washing in the water with the word done by John the Baptist. It was that one act which was so important that God the Father tore the sky open and sent the Holy Spirit down to Jesus that shows you your future. The sky was riven asunder and has been open ever since. The veil in the temple was torn open in the same way on Good Friday and has been open ever since. Immediate access to God our Father for those who have gone through the water with Jesus. And then St. Paul continues, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And here we get back to the question of those white robes. Do you have one? Not a literal one, but you do have a white robe, the white robe of Christ's righteousness that covers you, much like this all covers me. Jesus went into the water of the Jordan River, and he stepped into your place. He took into himself every one of your baptisms. He stepped into that water and soaked up, and he absorbed all of your filthy sin and all of your grief and all of your anger and all of your pain, and he carried that with him to his cross. And on that cross, his flowing blood washed all of that sin away, and he left it buried in his empty tomb. So when you were baptized, that water acted just like the water of the Jordan, and it washed your sin away from you, and it dumped it on Christ Jesus. Didn't stop there, though. You also died with Jesus on his cross, just as St. Paul says. And coming out of Jesus' tomb with him on Easter morning, you are dressed in that white robe of righteousness. You are dressed in his perfection, in his work. So it wasn't up to you, this baptism. You didn't do anything in it. It was all done to you. It was all done for you. And when it was done, you were named God's child. You were dressed in the proper clothes of a baptized child of God, covered in Jesus' perfection. Because when he took away your sin, something had to replace it. And that's why St. Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Your new life began in the water. All of the evil and all of the wrong and all of the death was taken out of you and given to Jesus, and he turned around and gave you his peace and his forgiveness and his life. So now, each and every day, you are to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That is, death has no power over you anymore. You have already died right there with Jesus. So death can't do anything to you anymore. Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen indeed, and that is the promise for you too. And now, as you live in this life, you no longer live, But Christ lives in you, so that the life that you now live, awaiting the resurrection of all flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God, the one who loved you and gave himself up for you. That's how God your Father sees you through your baptism. And that's how you, his baptized children, are urged to see yourselves. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ, new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. Isaiah has beautiful words to say to you too. Words first said to the Israelites, because they were a nation born of a baptism in the Red Sea, through the parted waters, dead to Egypt, alive to God. And Almighty God said it first to them, but now he says it to you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And clothed in him, wrapped tightly in his gift of righteousness, you are safe from all that might come your way. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.